And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May the 11th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 17, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody, and yeah, thanks for joining us here on this Mother's Day Eve. Did you put up your tree?
No.
Okay.
I haven't put up a tree in years.
Did you sit out the, I don't know, what would you sit out for Mother's Day? I was going to say milk and cookies, but I have no idea. I don't know what you would sit out for Mother's Day. But anyway.
Roses.
Just sit out.
No, that's Valentine's.
Right.
Daisies.
You can give roses to your mom.
Lilies.
Yeah. Or just find out what her favorite flower is and get her one of those.
Butterscotch.
Butterscotch flowers?
You said flavor, so there you go.
I mean, that might work. Butterscotch flowers. Like if they're edible, that's kind of cool. Anyway, welcome into the show, everyone. Hope you guys are doing well, and thank you for joining us. Bama Brian, I saw what you posted in the thing with the 3D printer stuff. Really, really cool. I see the Ed 209 sitting on what looks like a dryer. So obviously your creative room is the laundry room, I would guess. And then you made the gun that Murphy has in RoboCop.
Yeah, the Auto Man.
God, love that gun.
Yeah.
I haven't played that game. I've seen that game, obviously, but I have not played that game.
What, Rogue City?
Is it RoboCop with a subtitle. Yeah. I haven't played it. I've heard really good things about it, but I haven't played it. So, I still, while I cannot play Destiny anymore, I still kind of wanted a 3D printer to print off some of the guns that you could for Destiny. Now, I don't know. I'm kind of glad I never went through with that because I would have put, not that I haven't put a bunch of money into Destiny, but I would put even more money into Destiny. Not only that, I would have had a bunch of these 3D printed guns sitting around the house.
Yeah, living reminders of what you can't have access to anymore.
I know. I mean, I've already got most of that with a lot of Destiny stuff sitting around the house, from the special editions to all the different little ghost figures to the stuff I picked up at PAX. I mean, Destiny consumed me for a very long time. And I say consume me, but I mean, it was... If I was at a gaming thing and Destiny was there, it was let me get stuff, you know? If it was, whatever the case may be, if Destiny was involved, I was going to dip my toe into whatever it might have been. And so the house, you know, started piling up with Destiny things. I have an autographed poster, you know, that is that I'm still, you know, happy to have, but can't play the game
anymore. Did you get any novels, fiction stories, things like that?
I know.
Strat Guide's books?
Not Strategy. I don't even know that they make a strategy guide for Destiny. But no, I never picked any. And more with Destiny 2 than it was Destiny 1. Destiny 1 didn't, for whatever reason, because they were not on PC and I didn't have that much access to more people playing it like I did once 2 hit and was on PC and everything else. It just, I don't know. It didn't... One just didn't become what two became for me. But yeah, I should look into that poster and see if there's any value there. Because while I'm okay with it, that poster is not one of those things where I'm like, boy, that's going to go up in value later on. I'm sure it will. is it going to go up in the value that my enunciation or my the way I said that is implying? No, not at all. Probably not ever. Probably the autographs that are on there are probably people who no longer even work at that studio anymore, to be honest with you. It was a Gambit poster. And now I wish it was the X-Man and not the game mode. Would have taken that. So, yeah. Oh, Bama Bryan says the slide, the hammer, the trigger, they all work. That's fantastic. I think it's great. AC Wright says I would have a chocolate printer. No plastic ruining the environment, just fun food. Though I have appreciated useful printings like humbucker adapters for Jazzmaster pickup routes. Or is it routes? I'm not sure. But anyway, welcome into the show, everybody. We got a lot to cover in this show because basically we could have added an hour to last week's show and talked more about what we were talking about because stuff happened within the hour following the end of last week's show. And so we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to get into what we've been playing. This will not take long for me, but I do want to hear what RJ has been playing. Oh, and I'm going to fire up the Steam Deck because I know we're going to get to Balatro.
Yep. Because that is something I did play.
I imagine it is, yes. Yeah, did you beat a deck?
No, I did not beat a deck. But I'm consistently getting real close. Getting
that's good.
Six to seven.
Yeah.
And then failing then as opposed to getting the anti four and five and losing that way. Still working on the blue deck, of course. So I haven't unlocked any of the other decks. But yeah, same process. Boost up the stuff that you can boost up.
Right.
That you get often as opposed to the stuff that comes rarely. So I'm using that tried and true method to get me closer and closer to the goal that I want to get to. Other than that, more standard fare with GTA, MLB The Show, Virtua Fighter 5, those titles, of course. But I did play a bit of Warframe. I got back into Warframe a little bit. I wanted to get some updates on my frames because I was at... I was at a low level, tried to build that up, and it doesn't take long to build up if you keep running the most XP friendly missions over and over again. Take long to build up, and when you build up, you can level up your character and get more stuff for it. So I've been doing that over and over again for that. And outside of that, I tried to get some info on the Division 2 because I got some buddies of mine playing that now.
Yeah,
and so it might be something worth getting into. But the download is a problem. A friend of mine tried to download the update and the game, since it's on PS Plus and free, it was 100. I think it's 110, 112 gigs to download.
It would be a big download.
So
yes, it would.
If you got the time, I guess, or leave it on rest mode for days, because it took him literally days to do it. Because I guess everybody was trying to do it at some time or whatever. So yeah. I'm going to look into that pretty soon. So other than that, that's pretty much all I've been getting into this week.
Well, make yourself I don't know if it's required, but I was going to say make yourself a Ubisoft account if you don't already have one, because you're probably going to have to sign up for one to play Division 2.
I don't know if I have one or not. I haven't dealt with anything Ubisoft that I know of for a pretty long time.
I don't necessarily know that it's required, but given everything that we've been talking about recently, it sounds like it probably is.
Yeah, maybe.
What else?
That's pretty much it for you. I'll play this week,
Yeah. For me, Talos Principle is probably going to be finished tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I wrapped up the final island today, this morning, and got back to the hub area where I need to board another vehicle, and that'll take me to this final part, I suppose. I don't necessarily know, but all the islands have been done.
Mm-hmm.
All the puzzles on all the islands have been done. My achievement lists keep popping up with find all of these, because I'm starting to hit all these different things. It's like, okay, you've done all these things, and so obviously I am getting close to the very end.
Mm-hmm.
My progress shows that I am 100% on islands, 100% on extra puzzles, 100% on all these other little things that I found. There's all these 100%. What I am 0% on are the golden puzzles, which I'll call them that, because I think they're referenced in-game as golden puzzles. In fact, they were first referenced today, or at least I noticed they were first referenced today, because there was something in my inventory of one of the other characters that's in the game with me talking about, hey, there's these gates and these are these golden puzzles, and I believe you can do this with them, or this is how we get into them, that sort of thing. It's the first time they were referenced. But I have all 24 stars. I have a building in which I can release these stars. I have not done that yet. I don't know what happens when I do. I don't necessarily know if I want to finish the game first or at least progress further before I do this part. I'm not exactly sure. But tomorrow should be the end of Talos Principle 2 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I should wrap it all up tomorrow sometime. So that is the plan. What else? Anything else that I played? Just Talos Principle 2. I keep, you know, Marvel Snap and then Balatro.
Mm-hmm.
Balatro, I beat the red deck on the red stake difficulty, which we talked about. I was telling you about what that was.
Yeah.
You don't earn any money on the small blind each time. So there's only two chances to make money each round, and that is the big blind and the boss blind. Those are your only two chances to make money, with the exception of tarot cards that double your money, sell your jokers, stuff like that.
I was about to ask you if interest applies to the small blind.
Well, no. It would if your interest is over...
If you get enough money.
Yeah. Like, if you've got 10 bucks and you play the small blind, you'll get $5, or you'll get $1 of interest for being 5 bucks over the threshold there.
Yeah, so it's not completely out of money, but the difficulty just indicates it's going to be a lot harder to come by money than you used to.
I could be wrong on that, actually. Hang on.
No interest at all for the small blind, no matter how much money you got.
Let me see. Stake. Small blind gives no reward money, is what the instructions say. And I've watched enough of Taskmaster to read the instructions very, very literal. So it says... It's just, I don't necessarily remember. I don't remember not making interest. Because I didn't make money in that, that it didn't add interest to it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, but you add get money in the other, in the...
You do, yes.
In the antes.
Yes, you do.
On.
You do.
So, I mean, I find it hard to imagine that if you have like 30 bucks in your inventory, and then you get nothing in the small blind, no interest in the small blind, I think that's...
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not completely certain of that.
Okay.
But that is a good question.
Maybe I'll just have to play it and see, because I do have red deck difficulty on the red deck. So maybe I'll just
finished this earlier this week, and I was going to go back and play some of it to like do an endless mode and just keep going until I fail. I never got around to doing that, but at the same time, I kind of wanted to preserve what I had so I could talk to you about it.
Yeah.
So I can remember, here's the jokers I played. Here's the hands that I played. Mostly it was pairs. The jokers that I had, let's see what we've got here, is the ramen one. That is an uncommon. It was also holographic, so I got plus 10 multi every time I played it. But the ramen one adds a times 2 multiplier, but it loses... 0.01 multiplier per discard.
Okay, so it's like the ice cream and the popcorn, only
smaller.
That's every hand. It's going to lose regardless. But
wow, this is per discard.
Per discard, so it's not per hand; it's per discard. So you have to be real careful about your discard.
I was very careful about my discard. Some of the times I would just play a hand and treat that as a discard.
Yeah, to save your discards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would play a pair, and then I would throw in 3 other junk cards to swap it out and, you know, get rid of those without doing a discard.
Yeah, I've had to do that plenty of times myself, basically because I was out of discards at that point.
Yeah. What else do I have? I had Scary Face. Face cards give 30-plus chips when scored.
Mm-hmm.
I had Fibonacci.
Good one.
Each ace, 2, 3, 5, or 8 gives +8 multi when scored. I had a foil version of the Hanging Chad card.
Hmm.
The foil version gives me 50 chips, but the Hanging Chad retrigger the first played card used in scoring 2 additional times.
Hmm.
Now, you pair that with the Fibonacci, which, if you make your ace, your 2, your 3, your 5, or your 8 the first card, it adds +8 multi.
Yeah.
So, the way I played that was if I was playing a pair, whatever I was going to play to score, mm-hmm. I made sure that if I had any of those cards that the Fibonacci would work, I made sure they were in front. If I had any of those cards that also had a modifier attached to them, mm-hmm. like a special thing that give you more points or re-triggers or any of that.
Gold seal, red seal.
Yeah. It's always got to come first. If I had none of that, I put my face cards in there because the scary face would give me more chips and it would re-trigger. Yeah. The last Joker I had was called the Green Joker. Now, normally I wouldn't care about this, but it was polychrome, which means it adds 1.5 multi to whatever I have. The Green Joker is a plus one multi per hand played, minus one multi per discard. Mm. Currently, it was adding 15 multi for what I had played. So, you know, it got me there, and I made it. And let me give you the run info. Because I didn't play a lot here. I played four full houses. Mm-hmm. I played 1 4 of a kind. I played seven flush hands, three straights, 2 3 of a kind, 8 2 pair, one high card. I played one of almost everything except for a straight flush. Mm-hmm. And then I played 15 pairs.
Yep.
Because my pairs were leveled up in the to level 5. Mm-hmm. And so I did 15 of those pairs. Let me tell you, one of the things that got me and that was really scary was I was on a boss blind that discards two cards after you play a hand.
The hook.
I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah.
So every time you play a hand, whatever you've got left over, it throws two out.
Yeah.
Well,
it says random, but mm-hmm. I find it's the ones that you need the most.
It didn't matter to me because when it discarded those, it dropped my multiplier. Mm-hmm. On that one, on the ramen joker that I talked about, that counted as a discard, which sucked. The final boss blind was the Krulian Bell, which is forces one card to always be selected. Not too bad when I'm playing just pairs here and there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt too much.
Yeah.
So anyway, got it done, got through it.
I think I've played more straight flushes than I have four of a kind.
No, man. I mean, I'm not sure where I can go. It says stats. See, that's giving me stats on... Is it just this run? My most played hand is a flush. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I played that hand 585 times. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. My best win streak is 2. I am 84% in my collection, but I am only 23% in my progress of the entire game.
We got a lot of decks to go through.
God.
Yeah.
Challenges, I've done 0. Joker stickers, I'm at 2%. Deck stake wins, I'm at 5%, whatever. The most money I've ever had is $151. And mm-hmm. the best hand I ever played was 1,236,551 points. Card stats. What do we got here? Ooh, man, there's a lot of stats in here, dude.
Yeah.
There's a ton. Mm-hmm. Here's all the different jokers that I've used. My most used joker is the one that gives you plus 3 on the diamond suit. So any diamond cards I play, it multiplies by 3.
Well, lustful joker, I think, is the hearts. Wrathful joker, I think, is the clubs.
Yeah. And they go in order like that. It goes, for me, it goes the diamonds, the spades, the hearts. Then it is the one that gives you 20 chips and a plus 4 multi on any ace that you score, mm-hmm. which is called the scholar, by the way.
Yeah.
Then it gets me the gluttonous one, which is the clubs.
Gluttonous joker, yeah.
The rest, it kind of goes down from there. Consumables. Man, my flush planet card is up there. I've used it 100 times. Mm-hmm. Tarot cards. Creates up to 2 random tarot cards. I'll do that almost all the time.
Yeah.
If I open a pack, regardless of what they're, I'll almost always pick the one that gives me 2, because it's like getting 2 for the price of 1. Mm-hmm. And so it's a bonus there. Planet cards, of course, we talked about that. My spectral cards, yeah. Vouchers. 22 times I bought the voucher that drops the shop to 25% off. Mm-hmm. It's almost a must if you can get it. So these are good stats. I'm very surprised. I'm sorry that I know it's probably boring to listen to me run over these, but that's only because I just discovered that they had stats like that. I'm like, ooh, neat.
Lifetime stats, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it always interests me to see like what I've done or how much of something that I've done, that sort of thing. What was I going to say? Destiny used to do the same thing. Every season would end and you'd put your thing and they're like, hey, you use this gun this much and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it was kind of cool.
I think vouchers is something I don't usually use a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start using those more, because I usually get the ones like a higher hand or something like that.
I mean, they're $10. You know. And so early on, it's tough.
Yeah, still, yeah. It's
because then you've got to decide early on, do I need to blow $10 on this thing right now, or do I need to enhance my, you know, put more jokers in my... Because you're trying to build up, because that ramp's pretty quick, especially on Red Stake, where you don't want any money on that first blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be tough, especially tough when there's one that pops up that it's like, that's, I really need that one, you know, but you've only got 3 rounds to do it in basically before it switches. Cause I think it switches after every boss blind you beat.
Yeah, every boss blind. So, if you buy it, it doesn't come back until the boss blind is beaten. Yeah. I have played. Now there's one I did.
But if you don't buy it, though, it does switch out after you beat a boss blind, right?
Oh no, because it's so rare that I do get a voucher that I probably don't even notice.
I want to say that it's there for your first. It's there for the three blinds, and once you beat a level, basically, it switches and becomes something else. Okay. So I try to get, if I can, depending on what it is, I try to get it if I can. I know there's an achievement out there for not buying any vouchers. There's also achievement for buying a certain number of vouchers.
I bet I've got that one.
Either within a run or before anti-7 or something like that. I'm not sure. So,
did you ever get the one that does nothing?
I've done blank ones, yes.
The blank voucher?
Yes. There's either an achievement, there's something tied to those.
Yeah. Has to, yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
It unlocks a Joker card or something gets unlocked.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. It was like, it does nothing, but it had a question mark on there. So I'm thinking, okay, it's got to do something. Bye.
Yeah. The current Joker card that pops up on the Balatro logo when I start the game, it's locked. And, of course, if you press it, it'll give you a thing of like, here's how to unlock this. Mm-hmm. And there's one that says...
some challenge you have to do, right?
Yeah. Win a game without ever playing a flush. That's not beat a boss blind. That's like go through the entire thing.
Beat a deck.
Yes.
Beat a deck
without ever playing a flush.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. You just have to have the right setup. As with all Balatro runs.
RNG's got to be in your favor, man.
Right set of jokers and right set of cards.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. So. Anyway, all right. Well, we are going to take our first break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive right into, and they're already talking about it. I'm sorry, the screen went blank when I was looking for my, looking at my Balatro there, because I see a bunch of people have talked. Multile, hope everyone is having a great weekend in the middle of a bunch of admin, but hopefully I will get listening later, or if I get it all done. Hey, Multile, thanks for joining us. Lethal Migraine, a game where you have to read, count me out. And then he goes into talking about Phil Spencer. So we're going to talk about that. But yeah, there were two big things that happened this week. One of those happened, like I said, right after the show went off the air last week. The other one is, and they both involve, one involves Sony, the other involves Microsoft. These are big enough things that you probably already know about them, but we're going to go over them when we come back. Here is music, from a game I'm going to mispronounce, but these were supposed to play last week, but I had that sudden realization that it was Star Wars Day. Mm-hmm. So I switched everything out. So these are now playing this week. These are from games that are recently released. Not one of our classic things. That's next week. But these are recently released games. And this one's, I'm guessing, God, I want to call it Paella? Palia? P-A-L-I-A is the name of the game. Mm. Anyway, it's the main theme from the game. And so that's what you're going to hear. And we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In Game Chat. Music from Pepper Grinder. The name of the track is called Chill Winds. It's odd that this is music from Pepper Grinder. From all the gameplay footage, this is way too chill for what Pepper Grinder is. It's very momentum-based. Very much a keep-moving type situation in the game.
For some reason, I keep thinking about Mirror's Edge. Listening to this.
No, no, no. You're not wrong on that. You're not wrong at that at all. It's interesting to hear that. Pepper Grinder, an indie game right now. And if you are an indie game fan, boy, you've been eating well. From Balatro that we just talked about with a single person developer in that to, God, I don't know. I'm not sure if Manor Lords is an indie developer, but it seems like it might be. What else? There was a couple of other things. Little Kitty Big City, that was just released. What was the other one? I've got two of them. I've got a few in my cart on Steam right now that I haven't picked up. Animal Well is another one that I'm interested in. Is it 1000X Resist, I believe? You know, I'm not going to fire that back up. I'm not going to pull that out again. I'm just going to go and see. I'm going to log into Steam's here and see if they're in my cart. They're not in my... It doesn't show in my cart on the web. So, yes, it do. Yeah.
Let's see. 1000X Resist?
Yes. 1000X Resist. Which
a sci-fi adventure. The years unknown and a disease spread by an alien invasion keeps you underground.
I've heard really good things about that. It is currently sitting at just positive, but it's only 48 reviews. So far.
$18.
Yeah, they're having a sale right now on stuff, which is, again, why my cart has some items in it. I have not pulled the trigger on those. Then there's Animal Well. Let me go to the store page to give you an idea on that one. Overwhelmingly positive for Animal Well with 2,433 reviews on this. Very Metroidvania, but apparently there's way more to it than that, and it's one of those things where it's like, it's best you don't know. You'll enjoy this more the less you know about it. So I've kind of been like, it's tempting because it's always one of those things where it's like, I don't want to be spoiled, but at the same time, I kind of need to know what kind of game you are. You know, I kind of need to know what this is. I'm interested in this whole, like, hey, the least you know, the better. I'm always about that. I love stuff like that because you can be surprised and really, I'm one of the ones that if the trailer gives too much away, I'm annoyed. It's like, that's too much. You could have held that back. It would have been nice. Sometimes they feel like they give too much. And then you watch the film. It's like, oh, it was misdirect. You know, they did that on purpose. Like there was a trailer for... Oh, what is his name? M. Night.
M. Night Shyamalan?
Yes. Some film that he's got, and now I'm forgetting what it's called. But anyway, they went through the whole plot, and I was like, that just feels like it gives the movie away. But we know how he is. And so I think that's all part of the plan.
Yeah.
Because to subvert your expectations.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm very, very big on that. And then the other one that I have in my cart as well is one that we've talked about. It's Cryptmaster. Something I'm very interested in. It's given that it really needs a keyboard to use. I was going to say, I don't think it's deck compatible, but yeah, it's on sale as well. Really loved Cryptmaster when I played demos of it. So yeah, those are the three games I'm looking at. 1000X Resist, Cryptmaster, and Animal Well. And yes, I know Little Kitty Big City is on the Xbox Game Pass. So, which, yeah, we're going to get into that, by the way. So, yeah, last week we had a long talk about Helldivers. I say a long talk. We really didn't cover it too much. There was very little to cover. But we were kind of speculating. Like, what is Sony's response going to be to this? And we really kind of thought Sony was going to pull big corporate and say, well, sorry, you're just not in our area. You know. We're not going to do anything about it, yeah. You know? we're going to stand by our ruling, and we're not going to change our stance. Mm-hmm. And right after we got off the show, probably about 45 minutes after we got off the show, or to an hour, something like that. It wasn't very long. Mm-hmm. They changed course. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, we're going to remove the requirement for you to have, for you to connect to the PlayStation Network. Mm-hmm. It'll be optional. And so they removed it. Now, this was after Steam had already done refunds. This is after they had already pulled it from stores in other regions and countries where PlayStation Network is not available. I don't know that those got reinstated as far as the other countries that, in other words, if your country doesn't have PlayStation Network, they pulled the game from the stores there. But when Sony reversed course, did they put the games back? I don't know. In those specific stores. I am not sure. So, I have no idea. I mean, I could look that up, but regardless, the way that I had the stories laid out was just like, here's how it all keeps going. It was pulled from sale in 177 countries when the PlayStation Network linking requirement rolled out. The Steam reviews went negative. They got review bombed.
Yep.
211,000 negative reviews on Steam. And I really should just leave the Steam store page up because I keep going back to it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious, did those get removed or are they still there or what's the case here? I'm kind of curious. Mm-hmm. On old Helldivers 2 there. I'm going to have to search for it because it's not coming up. There we go. It's on my wish list. Yes, I am. I am of age to look at this content. Thank you very much. Okay. All reviews sit at mostly positive with 629,000, but the recent reviews now sit at mixed with 337,000.
Yeah.
That was not always the case, man. That thing was way up there in the mostly positive. I may have been overwhelming. I don't think it was, but in the mostly positive category for that game, but everybody went to it. Sucker Punch released a statement saying, look, Ghost of Tsushima, that is coming out on Steam later this month, we just want to reassure you guys, will not require you to connect to the PlayStation Network unless you want to do multiplayer, which Ghost is not a multiplayer game.
Like we said before, it's a story-based game. Not most people aren't playing this for multiplayer.
It has one mode that is multiplayer and bears nothing on the story whatsoever that I know of. And I could be wrong. I didn't play it. But
from what I looked at, it doesn't.
Yeah. So you're absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sucker Punch got out there very quickly and said, whoa, wait a second. Before you do this, not that it matters now.
Because I was about to ask, Sucker Punch says that. But what is Sony saying?
Well, Sony is saying that they're not going to require you to sign into PlayStation Network unless you do the multiplayer. That's what Sony has said. Because the multiplayer will require a PlayStation Network sign-on on PC. The problem with that is that they have already removed Ghost of Tsushima from countries that do not have the PlayStation Network, where once they existed, they have now removed it because of the backlash from the Helldivers 2 thing. Even though Sony has reversed course, they still are not putting that up for sale in those other countries. Green Man Gaming, which is a storefront separate from Steam, but allows you to buy games that you can play on Steam, they already refunded people who had bought Ghost and were in countries that didn't have PlayStation Network. They already refunded that money to them. And, of course, they won't be sending those keys to them either. When they get them in. So, even though I am almost 99.9% positive that the people in those countries that got that refund had no intention of ever doing the multiplayer, would be perfectly fine with never connecting to the multiplayer. I mean, it is a little bit of a, you're not getting the full game. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be able to experience the full game, but that probably doesn't matter to them.
Well,
the story.
It was a DLC anyway.
It was, exactly.
So, yeah.
It is. It was a DLC. There's no reason for it. Sony's got to figure something out. Sony has to, because more than anything else, and I get it. I get that they pulled back on their requirement for this game. They pulled back on the requirement for Ghost, although I don't necessarily know that Ghost was ever going to need it. It gives you the option to do it so that you can sync your trophies and your friends list and all this other stuff. But I don't think it was ever going to require you to do it unless you did the multiplayer like we were talking about.
Yeah.
Because Last of Us didn't have it. Of course, Last of Us doesn't have multiplayer. At least the ones that's on PC doesn't have multiplayer.
Yeah.
Last of Us 2, Uncharted, God of War, Spider-Man, none of that stuff has any multiplayer in it. Doesn't require you to log in. We looked over these games, Horizon. Yeah. We looked over these. And by the way, they're thinking about, I think, God of War Ragnarok will be the next PC announced Sony game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's expected within the next few weeks, that announcement. Will that need a PlayStation requirement? I have no idea. I hope that Sony looked at this and said, okay, we need to pull back on this. But again, you know, we sat here last week thinking that they were going to, you know, corporate going to corporate, right?
Yeah. Whatever makes whatever, well, whatever plan makes us the most profit, that's what we're going to do. But it sounds like one of them things that looks good on paper, but not in execution.
I know. And I kind of feel like they're going to corporate, going to corporate again. And like, look, we realized we messed up with Helldivers because we released the thing and then a bunch of you played it. And then we threw in this requirement, even though the requirement was always there. According to them, I never paid attention to it, but according to them, it was always there. And I'm pretty sure that it probably was always there. But given what happened, I feel like this is more of a fluke than a rule. This is more of a, hey, you caught us. Let's flip this back, you know? But from here on out, which they haven't said, they haven't done that yet. Ghost is one of those things where I can't get a reading on Ghost because, yeah, it's got a multiplayer component. But it's strictly, it's again, going back to my percentages that I love to throw out.
It's the definition of optional. I mean, it is
That game is 99% single player.
Yeah.
And the most enjoyment you're going to get out of it is in the single player. That is the core of the game. It is single player, doesn't need a requirement. Spider-Man, single player, doesn't need a requirement. Horizon, single player, doesn't need a requirement. Don't have to sign up for anything. Just buy the game and play it. Perfectly fine. Will Sony start requiring these in future releases? I don't know. We get this note about God of War Ragnarok being added to it. We can kind of see if they're going to go that route. And that is a Sony first-party studio. And by that, I mean it's their studio. It's not, you know, I get that Sony owns the Helldivers IP. But the studio that makes that is Arrowhead. It's not a Sony, I mean, Sony owns it, but it's not. It doesn't have Sony's name attached to it. Just like Sony, you know, well, a better way to say it was just like Microsoft owned Bungie, and then they bought themselves out of their exclusivity or whatever, went over to Activision, that sort of thing. Sony owns Arrowhead, but the developer studio for God of War is Sony Santa Monica.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their studio. It's an in-house studio type thing. Naughty Dog is owned by Sony, but they are just themselves, you know? And if Sony wanted to sell them, they could. Or if they wanted to buy themselves out or something like that, and I'm surprised they don't. But point being is that there's got to be more releases, even just announcement of releases from Sony to see where they're really going to fall on this, if they're going to make it a requirement. Because a lot of this that we're seeing now feels like, I don't want to say afterthought, but it just feels like a mess. A disorganized, we screwed up on this one, we got to have a firmer stance from here on out.
Maybe it was a testing of how far they could push things.
Well, remember, it was already in the code, or it was already in the game. A require, because, and this goes back to Sony's rules anyway, and maybe even Microsoft's, I'm not sure. But in order to play multiplayer on a Sony console, on a PlayStation, you have to have a PlayStation Network account.
PlayStation Network account.
I mean, you've got to have that account set up in order to play multiplayer. Even if it's free to play, like Fortnite, like Among Us, mm-hmm. like, or not Among Us, Fall Guys.
Fall Guys, yeah.
Bunch of different things. You've still got to have a PlayStation Network account in order to play those because you got to go online. So you got to have some identity, and that's through the PlayStation Network. I totally understand that. I totally get it. Helldivers is, unlike all those other titles I just mentioned not having requirements to sign into the thing, Helldivers is a special case because it is strictly a multiplayer game. And so going by that logic that it is a multiplayer game, and for multiplayer with Sony games, you got to have a PlayStation Network account, that was already built into the game itself. The problem was is that when the game launched, they were having login problems galore. Mm-hmm. Tons of people getting into it. They weren't expecting this game to be as successful as it was. And in order to alleviate some of the pressures of people getting into the game, they turned off that requirement. The problem is they didn't communicate that enough, if they did at all, I'm not sure, that, hey, in order to get you guys on, we're going to remove the requirement to get on PlayStation Network with the plan to reinstate later on down the road. Mm-hmm. None of that was ever communicated. I can't figure that was ever communicated, because somebody by now would have found that tweet, email, thing, whatever, mm-hmm. and said, look, they were always planning to do this. Here it is. All they've got to do is show us that originally this game did require you to sign up for a PlayStation Network, but they deactivated it because they were having login issues.
But the login issues cleared up?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Did you have to have a PlayStation Network when it cleared up?
When it cleared up, no. They, it's another problem that they did was they issued this thing of like, hey, we're going to turn on the PlayStation Network requirement here in like 6 days or a week's time. You know, they announced it and they said it's happening in a week, rather than saying, hey, get ready because next month we're initiating this, you know, just more time.
But it's working.
What do you mean?
The logging in network play was working before the requirement, right? When they fixed the logging issues.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. They disabled the requirement to log into the PlayStation Network. Things got better. They added servers. Things got better. In other words, they took a while before they reinstated that thing. The game released in February.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that it's working without the requirement.
Yes.
So it wasn't needed.
It never was, no.
So
It's Sony's whatever their thing is.
Yeah, so, yeah.
In other words, and I mean, that's a good point, because it goes to say, it's watching a lot of court lately. It kind of goes to the whole thing of like, you didn't need it before, why do you need it now, type of thing.
Yeah.
It was working before, now it's not working, you shouldn't, you know. It's kind of a situation where people can point at that and say, this is not necessarily something that needs to be in there. However, this feels like an outlier. Mm-hmm. This feels like a certain number of things happened that caused this aspect of what Sony wanted to not work, and they'll be prepared for next time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll look at this as like, here's a mistake we made. Let's not make this mistake again. Not in the sense of let's remove requirement to sign into PlayStation Network, but more in a sense of, let's make sure people know ahead of time that you're going to have a PlayStation. In other words, they're not going to bend on that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I really don't think. Ubisoft hasn't done it.
Yeah.
So now they're getting games pulled out of stores that don't have PlayStation Network. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Ghost is getting refunded to people. They're not going to get that, and all these other different things. I think a community manager got fired from Helldivers 2 after the whole login thing, because there were a couple of developers who were out there tweeting things. And
some folks got wild on social media, man. They really did. So,
like, I applauded him for, hey, man, I know you have absolutely no control. You're a developer at Arrowhead, and this is Sony's doing, and I know you have no control. And I get what you're putting out there. It's great to see you communicating with the consumers, but Sony can't be happy about some of the things that you're saying. And not only that, it gives you a bad look. And I applaud them. Mm-hmm. But I know on corporate side, that is a bad look to them. And maybe they don't care, and that's fine. But I'm almost positive that they do. care because Sony is where their money's coming from. I don't know what the deal is between Arrowhead and Sony as far as them being the developer, Sony being the publisher. I have no idea what kind of deals they have set up or whatever. I just know that they weren't necessarily biting the hand that feeds them as much as they were making sure people knew that this is on Sony, this is not on us. Rather than kind of having a group effort of like, we really apologize for this, we understand your frustration, we're going to do everything we can to fix it, and blah, blah, blah. And I know that's corporate speak, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you want to not sever that relationship with your publisher. This being, you know, a pretty big deal for you type of thing. I'm not sure. I again, I'm okay with it because I think you should communicate with your fan base, your the people that are playing your game, the people that have these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know there's nothing you can do about it. As a developer who is owned by somebody else, I absolutely know there's nothing you can do. There were other things that came out because I know he was talking about whoever it was talking about the fact that he had known this for 6 months prior to release, that it was going to need to have a requirement to log into the PlayStation Network. What they didn't know and what nobody knew was that they were going to have the problems that they had at launch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they deactivated that. But man, there were, yeah, there were things that were being brought up and were being said, which again, standing on the outside of it, I'm like, good job for you. But if I was on the inside on either the developers or the publisher side, I'd be like, hey, man, why don't just step away for a bit. Just step back for a bit because you're very close to saying something that we may have to answer for with our higher ups. Even though none of this was on them to begin with. It was all on Sony. I still, you know, put Sony firmly in that, in the crosshairs of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Lethal Migrant says, Sony has to play nice. If they were going to use a bunch of Apollo's money to buy Paramount, the optics look lousy when you're screwing gamers. I agree. PlayStation Network isn't offered in most of the world. It's extremely crazy, dude. I totally get it. 177 countries do not have access to the PlayStation Network. And in fact, some other country, Vietnam, just banned Steam.
Really?
Yeah.
Any reasons why?
I looked over the headline. I didn't put it in my list of things, mm-hmm. but yes, Steam is now banned in Vietnam. I was trying to see if I could find that again, but I don't see it. Because that I just saw that article this morning.
Hmm.
Are you seeing anything?
Mm-mm.
Really?
I was looking up the countries not couldn't get a
there we go
PlayStation Network.
That's weird. It finished the sentence for me because I said Steam banned and it's like in Vietnam. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Eurogamer.net, excuse me. As first reported by a game developer and spotted by our sister site GameIndustry.biz, it is unclear exactly why the PC platform has been banned, but it seems that it may be due to Valve's business operations. Steam has been taken down in Vietnam after local game developers complained about the scope and size of Steam's vast portfolio of games, claiming Vietnamese devs cannot compete with Steam's releases given they are subject to government approval and thousands of international games on Steam are not. Apparently, if you make a game in Vietnam, mm-hmm. it has to go through a bunch of government approval and other things, whereas games made outside of Vietnam don't have that requirement. So Steam has a bunch of stores or a bunch of items that are not there, and it's, I guess it's just tougher for that. I'm not sure.
Blame the government, not Steam.
I know. Citing it as an injustice to domestic publishers, Vietnamese studios reportedly say that local game development will die if Steam is able to keep releasing games without the same government scrutiny as domestic games. At the time of writing, there's been no formal word from Vietnamese authorities. Or Steam about the ban, but according to players, all Vietnamese internet providers have decisively blocked access to both the Steam launcher and Steam's website, and unhappy players have taken to the Steam forum to share their dismay.
Isn't this how black markets start?
Eh, probably. In case you missed it, Steam is taking the unprecedented step of auto-refunding players who bought Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut in countries where PSN isn't available. As developer Sucker Punch is part of the PlayStation Studios family, it seems a decision has been made to preemptively refund all pre-orders to players who can't legally sign up for PlayStation Network. So, anyway, yeah, now it's banned in Vietnam. All right, we're at the top of the hour, and we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to jump over to the side of Microsoft and talk about them as well. About the only one coming out clean on this thing seems to be Nintendo, but not really. And I say that because Nintendo is so strict with their IP.
Yeah, yeah. Was that dude that went to jail
yeah.
a while back? Yeah.
I mean, I get it in some ways, and then other ways, I'm just like, stop. You're just being mean now. Nobody's doing this to steal money from you, but I guess if you don't, and honestly, I think that's what it is. And I think we've talked about it. The fact that they are so widespread, every little thing is an issue, because if they let one slide, there's ways for people to argue that you should let others slide. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, look, we're going to blanket it, you know, regardless. If it wasn't put out by us, you can't do anything with it. We're going back to the music here. We've got the main theme from a game called Outward. And we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. So, this is music also from Pepper Grinder. I kind of wanted to give you an idea of two very different ends of the spectrum there in the game. And I had forgotten, again, this is the whole set of music that I used is something I did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then realized, you know, and so at the time when I'm doing these things, I'm like, okay, I know that's from that. And we're going to talk about that, blah, blah, blah. And of course, a week goes by because Star Wars, and completely forgot that I had used two tracks from Pepper Grinder just to show you the difference. Because I had mentioned this earlier when I heard the chill stuff. I'm like, man, this seems real odd because Pepper Grinder's such a frantic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this music fits that, so yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. There it goes. Yeah, so let's jump into Microsoft. We talked about Sony's situation, and then we come to Microsoft. And I mean, I have got One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11. 11 articles about one, I say one single thing, but it's just about what Microsoft did this week.
Mm-hmm.
They closed, I thought it was four. Yeah, they closed four studios this week. They shut down four studios. Alpha Dog Games is one of them. I'm not familiar with that. Apparently, it says Mighty Doom. I don't know if that's a game that they made, but I don't know. They also closed down Roundhouse Games, which, I'm not sure exactly what they made. And I apologize for not knowing that, but the two big ones that they shut down were Tango Gameworks, the Evil Within guys, Evil Within, yep. Evil Within 2, and Hi-Fi Rush, which, we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
They also shut down Arcane Austin, who had made Redfall. But, of course, Arcane Austin had made other games other than Redfall. Redfall was horribly received, was a massive bomb. It did not sell well. Speaking of, probably coming up in the next segment, we'll tell you about Warner Brothers and their massive bomb with Justice League. Because they came out with a statement about their loss. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a statement about their loss, attributing it to Justice League not performing at their expectations.
Lots of finger pointing in the news this week, isn't it?
You know, I'd say, yeah, yes. I mean, Sony took the... You know, Sony took the bullet for that. I mean, they did reverse course. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's fine. Microsoft is taking the heat on this, although it kind of, Microsoft did not do a great job in the messages they were getting out. The fact that, I get it, man, business is business is business. You got to close studios. You got to, I understand. When that has to happen, I totally understand that's just a part of business. I mean, I don't work at Microsoft, and I don't have a job at a level that anyone has near what somebody at Microsoft would have to cut these studio type of things. So I don't know. I've never been in that position to know that. I wish there was another way this could have been handled. If they could have sold the studio off instead of shutting it down. I don't necessarily know if that's an option to do, you know, where it's like, look, if we sell this, we lose all these IPs. If we hold on, if we just close the studios, we still own this IP, you know. But then again, if they own the studios and they sell it, they could still say, look, we're going to sell the studio. We're keeping all the IP, but we're selling the studio to somebody else. They can make other games with it.
But to cut down the chance of that, they're making something that we could have had on our own.
Maybe.
I think the former that you said is the most feasible business choice. We keep all the IPs and they can't.
Right.
Do anything. They can't do anything outside of the company to potentially hurt us in the long run.
Right.
So, yeah, the easier solution would be to just shut the studio down, keep the IPs, and just move on.
Yeah, I know. This move was made due to a reprioritization of titles and resources in the company. Arcane Austin's closing will leave some staff to join other teams where room is available. The rest will be unceremoniously unemployed. Tango Gameworks will close without any job lifeboats. Same goes for Alpha Dog. Roundhouse Games will be rolled into and ultimately engulfed by ZeniMax Online Studios, which I had read something about ZeniMax. They're looking to sell ZeniMax now. Possibly. I'm not sure. These changes are not a reflection of the creativity and skill of the talented individuals at the teams or the risks they took to try new things. I acknowledge that these changes are also disruptive to the various support teams across ZeniMax and Bethesda that bring our games to market. We are making these tough decisions to create capacity to increase investment in other parts of our portfolio and focus on our priority games. This, of course, after they spent how many billions of dollars to buy Activision? Yeah. This article goes on to say this is rancid news, marking yet another major sweep of layoffs in the video game industry in recent memory. I mean, again, I know it. I know it sucks.
$69 billion.
Yeah, $69 billion.
Billion. Well, 68 billion. Close enough. $69 billion to acquire. Man.
Yeah.
Cuts coming somewhere.
Hey, Lethal. I am not trying to give Microsoft any sort of excuses on this. I totally understand. It's not that I totally understand. Businesses do this all the time. Businesses constantly do this. But the way this was handled with the... And because there's more to this than just what we're talking about. Because in the days after this news, there were interviews done and other things. And there were some things said, which was like, you idiots. They talked about how they wanted more games like Hi-Fi Rush. But this was the day after or 2 days after or ever how long after... They had just closed the studio that made Hi-Fi Rush. There were just some really, really dumb things that were done. And there was a loss in Game Pass revenue as well. I don't necessarily know how well that's going to be sticking around or how well that's going to be. Because there's also now the question of there was talk about Call of Duty. Is it going to Game Pass or is it going to go to... Is it going to skip Game Pass and be something that you have to buy in order to play rather than have to subscribe in order to play? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as I know, Game Pass numbers were down, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, Lethal Migraine, I'm not sure. But I remember reading about that. And I remember reading that there was a possibility of an increase in subscription price for Game Pass. And the thought is, if Call of Duty is available day one on Game Pass, you will see an increase in price in Game Pass. If it is not, you will hear a lot of complaints, or you will get a lot of people who unsubscribe from Game Pass, which again, it then loses money.
Well, worst case scenario, it would still go up, just not as much.
Yeah. But I think it's going to go, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to do. It's Call of Duty, man. And then, so that's the Activision side of things. But then when you go further, you look at Bethesda, right? Yeah. You look at Elder Scrolls. And you don't look at Starfield. Nobody's looking at Starfield. You look at Elder Scrolls, the next Elder Scrolls, when that gets around to it. And I know that's down in the future and a long way away. But it's still a situation where Microsoft has a system seller on their hands, in a sense. Do you put it in your Game Pass, or do you make it so that people have to buy that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see if... Okay, again, I'm reading Lethal Migraine here. He says, in Sarah Bond's nonsensical interview with Bloomberg, where she didn't answer a single question posed to her about the closings of the studio, yeah, she completely dodged all of those questions. She sort of confirmed that Call of Duty will launch into Game Pass.
Make it sound like a politician level dodging.
Yeah, no. Then I think you're going to see an increase in Game Pass price subscription.
Expect it anyway.
I think you will.
Yeah.
Because I think in one of those same interviews, I believe it showed that Game Pass wasn't doing too great, but I could be wrong. Apparently, the more I talk, the more my nose clogs. I've only noticed that recently. Game industry reacts to shocking studio closures, which, I mean, it's just a bunch of tweets.
Yeah. But I saw that article you put there about... making a profitable game isn't enough.
And it's
true, man. Because remember that whole thing with Square Enix?
I know.
Where Tomb Raider didn't. It sold very well, but not enough to Square Enix's liking.
It's a game that comes from or it's an article that comes from PC Gamer,
mm-hmm.
where the article says, after laying off thousands of employees over the past couple of years, games industry executives appear to be adopting a more efficient method of what they euphemistically call reprioritization, which is just what we said about closing mm-hmm. the studios. Take-Two had just shut down two studios last week. Now Microsoft has bulldozed four more. The dissolution of these talented, well-respected teams has reinforced the feeling among gamers and developers that nothing is good enough to earn security under big publishers today. In one popular tweet, indie developer Maisie, I will butcher, and so I'm not going to try to pronounce it, listed 11 things that will no longer keep you safe in this industry. Those 11 things were a good game, a profitable game, a viral game, a big publisher, a small publisher, a big team, a small team, a rich parent company, an ethical parent company, long hours and sacrifice, and experience. None of that keeps you safe in the industry. What does then? I'm curious.
Ridiculous profit. What does a company cherish more than anything else?
Yeah, obviously, return on their investment.
Return on their investment. Yeah. So, something that turns over ridiculous.
But this says,
or gets players to keep spending money.
Yeah, I was going to say, this says a profitable game still doesn't keep you safe in the industry. Indeed, Tango Gameworks' Hi-Fi Rush was deemed by Microsoft to be a breakout hit in all key measurements and expectations. They said that last year. And in his email to staff today, Xbox Game Studios head Matt Booty said that the studio closures are not a reflection of the creativity and skill of the talented individuals at these teams or the risks they took to try new things. Rather, Microsoft is reprioritizing high-impact titles. The message being heard here is that you can do everything right, but still be deemed low-impact at any point by the folks upstairs, and then you get daxed.
I'll still stand on what I said. I mean, is Hi-Fi Rush a good game? You got it, right?
Yeah. Honestly, coming from Tango Gameworks, where they had made The Evil Within and The Evil Within 2, seeing something like Hi-Fi Rush was like, what is this? And then playing Hi-Fi Rush and seeing the animation and the way that game, just complete, you know, completely different direction than what Evil Within was done. Mm-hmm. And a shadow drop at that, it was a nice little small chunk of a game that was pretty good. And yeah. You know, by the way, it's on Humble Bundle for those of you for this month's Humble Bundle, which is like $12 a month. You get 8 games. Hi-Fi Rush is one of those, and they're all on PC. So,
but it's not a title that you keep spending money on after the fact.
No, you're right. There was no DLC that was planned. It was everything that we've kind of always talked about. Or that you hear the majority of people scream about, don't give us microtransactions. Yeah. Don't give us, you know, just give us a nice, solid, good story game.
Apparently Tango gave you a solid, enjoyable, well-put-together game.
Don't make it a games-as-a-service type thing. Don't make it one of these things. Just make it. And they did.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it works anyway, because, again, I have the WB article to go to where Justice League was a failure,
mm-hmm.
even though it's a games as a service thing. So it doesn't matter if your game, you go back to the 11, whatever things that she had listed off as a developer mm-hmm. of like, nothing will keep you safe. If you try games as a service and it doesn't succeed, you're not safe.
Yeah.
If you try something different and give what everybody actually wants, you might get critical reviews, but apparently it doesn't keep you safe.
Yeah. As far as I'm looking at with Maisie's tweet here, the only she misinterpreted what profitable means two different things to the developer and the folks upstairs.
Yeah. Remedy sent out a tweet saying that they took a lot of inspiration for both Evil Within and Evil Within 2 when making Alan Wake 2, and actually encouraged a lot of the ex-Tango developers to apply at Remedy to try and get a job there. Ken Levine tweeted that he was sad and disappointed by the closure of Arkane Austin and is seeking designers from that studio to work on his new game.
I'm trying to remember the issues that caused Redfall to fail. Was it like a rush job they threw it out too early? Or It was taking too
Which
long.
Which game?
Redfall?
Redfall?
Dang, yeah.
Yeah. It was too early.
Rush job. Okay.
Yes. They needed something, and if I were to go back to that point, there was like, hey, we got to get this out because this other game's coming out type of thing. I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was... A lot of people felt like they pulled that out of the oven way too soon because they were trying to reach that deadline to have something.
Yeah.
And it just was a failure on all
and
levels.
And it failed, and the rest is history, so the studio was shut down.
In January, Microsoft also canceled a survival game in production at Blizzard, which it had acquired with Activision, and they laid off that development team as part of 1,900 job cuts. Yeah, we talked about that earlier this year, about the big layoffs and everything else. Let's move on into the next article about this. After buying up studios, Xbox says it doesn't have the resources to run them. On May 7th, Xbox announced it was closing three studios and then rolling another one into another studio. As reported by Bloomberg, Matt Booty praised Hi-Fi Rush, but wouldn't go into specific details on why the studio behind the action game had been shut down. Speaking more broadly about the closings, Booty reportedly explained that Xbox and Bethesda studios had become spread too thin, like peanut butter on bread, and that team leaders felt understaffed. The idea being that by closing studios, Xbox would free up resources elsewhere within the company. He also told staff at the meeting that Arkane Austin's closing had nothing to do with Redfall flopping with fans and critics. In fact, Arkane Austin was in the middle of working on DLC for Redfall. And that got, just in the middle of it, it was like, nope, we can't finish this. And they refunded people who had already bought it. It probably wasn't many. Sure, I made the joke at the time, or everybody made the joke at the time, that Redfall was really, really bad. But now you go back and think about it, it's like, oh, it was so bad it lost them that. But they have said that it's not due to that. In some way, I do believe them that that's the case. But I'm sure that it wasn't the majority of the reason, but it was probably up there.
Played a part.
Yeah.
A significant part?
Yeah.
A significant part of the reason, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Let me keep going here. Reportedly, both Tango and Arkane Austin had pitched games to work on next, including a sequel to Hi-Fi Rush, and possibly a new Dishonored game. But that likely will not happen. It's hard to support nine studios all across the world with a lean central team with an ever-growing plate of things to do. I think we're about to topple over. Oh, okay. Maybe stop buying studios? Tango and Arkane were trying to hire more people while pitching new games, and both Braff and Booty reportedly suggested that the long, expensive road those teams faced before being able to release something new was the main reason for closing the studios, implying that it was just bad timing as Microsoft looks to trim down costs and overhead. It's reported that more cuts are likely for Xbox, according to people who spoke to Bloomberg. It's also reported that ever since the Activision buyout, $69 billion, Microsoft leaders have been ramping up their scrutiny of the Xbox division. The Verge reported on Wednesday that executives at Microsoft and Xbox had discussed not adding Call of Duty games to Game Pass and raising the price of Game Pass Ultimate. However, nothing is concrete yet. Microsoft leaders taking a bigger interest in Xbox might help explain why the others are looking to cut costs. Either way, it's likely more folks at Xbox are about to lose their job in the near future. And yeah, they are debating on adding... I know that you said that it was probably going to be launched on Game Pass. I feel like it will be. I feel like they'll keep going with the experiment, you know, where it's let's keep doing what we do. Our first party titles are always going to be on Game Pass day one and subscribers can play it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they'll keep that. I feel and with possibly a price increase. Yes.
I would expect a price increase at this point.
Yeah. I'm just curious if they're doing it with this Call of Duty as an experiment. And will they do it again for the next one? and the one after that.
But it's their baby now, right?
It is, yeah. It's theirs to do with whatever they will.
So I say again, I expect their price to go up
if they put it out there, yeah.
Put it in there, yeah.
I mean, we know how big of a deal Call of Duty is. I also haven't played a Call of Duty game in ages. Doesn't interest me. But there's
a big enough fan base to even go that route, yeah.
$1 billion easy worth of people who do want to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious how that's going to work.
If they do go that route, how big do you think an increase will it be? Because how much is it now per month?
$16 a month? I don't know. Let me see if I can. I think I'm going to the IGN article that talks about this to see if maybe it gives me an idea of what that price is. It doesn't say. It's just the possibility that they're going to raise the price of it, but it doesn't give me what the price is.
$25 a month. If it's 16 now, right?
Yeah. I think it's something like that. Somebody's going to post in the chat room, I'm sure, as to what the price is. But yeah,
I would think I'm thinking like a $10 increase or something along those lines. Heck, maybe even to $29.99 a month.
This article here from IGN says that a larger topic is coming to focus on Xbox's strategy for Game Pass. As Warren and Bloomberg's Jason Schreier reported, although Microsoft's recent earnings revealed that Xbox content and services, which includes Game Pass, were up by 62%, the growth in that category was due to Activision and Blizzard. So I'm guessing that's everybody that came over from that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the price hike is only for the ultimate tier of Xbox Game Pass, which gives you PC Game Pass and console Game Pass, I guess if you want to call it that. But nothing's been finalized on this. This is not, that's not a done deal. It's the rumor that they've got. What else? On this, I'm going back into it. Yeah, one of the things that Matt Booty had said was that we need smaller games that give us prestige and awards, which is exactly what Hi-Fi Rush was. It got them awards, prestige. I mean, we talked about it during awards season, but yet they still closed it.
Yeah.
I believe they just put it on multi-platform too, right? Wasn't that one of the ones that you could then move, you could play? It's one of the early titles that Microsoft was like, hey, we're going to take our first-party studios and put them on Sony and on Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say Hi-Fi Rush was one of those. Yeah, AC Wraith says, when and if they come for Double Fine, I suggest we all switch to Linux. I bet you they do. And yeah, Phil Spencer needs, yes, I get it, yeah.
PS5, Xbox Series X, X and S, cloud gaming, Windows.
I agree.
Hi-Fi Rush, yeah.
I agree with you. This is Lethal. Phil needs to have his feet to the fire on this thing. And if he has no, like you said, if he has no real power, then just get rid of the dead weight. Fire him instead of closing the studio and getting rid of, I don't know how many people over the one. But let me go back to what we said earlier. Corporate gonna corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the other byproduct of this was that we talked about how when Sony said you have to have a PlayStation Network to sign up for Helldivers, everybody went and review bombed Helldivers into the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reverse of that has happened. Everybody went to Steam and
blew up Hi-Fi
gave
Rush.
Massively positive reviews
yeah.
to Hi-Fi Rush and other games. Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush, yeah.
Yeah. Nice to see Microsoft, Tango Gameworks.
You got two extremes. right there.
On Wednesday, Xbox Studios reportedly told Tango GameWorks staff reacted to his reported statement with a social media post expressing their clear exasperation at the situation. John Joannis, creative director at Tango GameWorks, reacted to Booty's quote in devastating fashion, which it looks like it's maybe a clip from the game, I suppose. Like he memed it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going there now, but it's taking forever to load.
Yeah.
Yeah, he memed it, the reaction to that is what he did. And then somebody also at the studio took pictures of all their awards and said, is this not enough?
No.
There's a BAFTA award in there. And then there's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 awards that I can count on that shelf. One of them being the video game awards, the other one being a BAFTA award, and then I don't know what the others are, but there's a bunch there.
Long story short, Booty's full of it.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know what? I've got Steam open. I can go check that out. Hi-Fi Rush. Let's see what it's got. And then we got to go to a break. Overwhelmingly positive. All reviews show as overwhelmingly positive for 22,000 of those reviews. Recent reviews, 2,334 with overwhelmingly positive reviews. It's a good game. It's a really good game. It got shadow dropped, and in that regard, I mean, I had no idea that they were working on it. To see that they kept this thing secret for so long, given everything that was going on, all the animation, and when I say animation, I'm not talking about the animation within a game. I'm talking about actual animation.
Yeah.
Actual cartoon animation, man. They did really, really good with this. Really good with this. So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll close with everything else that we had up here, the other news, which, you know, Warner Brothers is one of those. I say that, but I don't see the story in here. I thought I had it in there. Regardless, not that it matters. Warner Brothers is like, hey, Justice League didn't work very well. Could have told you that. Here is music from the new South Park game called Snow Day. I have not played it. But this is awfully, if I remember right, and again, this is going back some weeks, awfully epic sounding for a South Park game. But I could be wrong. I thought it was. Yeah, got a little bit of that. Yeah, okay. Here's music from South Park Snow Day. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to the show. Music here from The Last Case of Benjamin Fox. The track on this one's called Marie. I'm kind of interested in that game.
Just had me thinking of a Charlie Brown special.
Yeah, you said that. First thing you heard, you're like, Charlie Brown? It's kind of nice. Anyway, welcome back to the show. This is where we're going to hit all the other stories that didn't have to do, I say, with Microsoft and Sony. There probably are some stories in here that do have to do
with similar
Microsoft and Sony, yeah. Could be getting some DLC to the Talos Principle, which would be nice. They tweeted out something the other day, Crow Team did, And it was an image from Talos Principle 2. I say it was Talos Principle 2. It was a building I have yet to see. Like it was an image from a game that I have not come across yet. Like some outside building thing. And I haven't seen that yet. So I don't necessarily know that it's... I think it will get some DLC. The first game got DLC about... little under a year after the game's release, it got some DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're hitting about 6 months now because this came out in November. And so, yeah, we could be getting some DLC. I would love that. If I timed it right to where I finish this game and they throw in some DLC and I got more new stuff to play, I am all for it. This is a, you know, this is a strictly single-player game. There is no multiplayer involved with it. So it's also very story-driven. There is very little need to go back and replay the game. Once you've solved the puzzles, some puzzles have multiple solutions to them, but why you would go back and try and solve them a different way, I'm not sure. If you want the challenge, sure. Mm. Some puzzles have achievements attached to them where you know, kind of like in Balatro, it's like solve this puzzle by doing or by not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of puzzles like that that you can get some achievements for. But they're very specific.
Yeah.
It's not like, do one of the puzzles that don't require this. It's like, no, do this specific puzzle without doing this specific move,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or without using this specific item.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that. So, and then there's two hidden achievements, which I don't know what those are. But I'm not too worried about them because I'm close to the end of the game and I'm going to wait and see what that happens. But if we get some DLC for this, I am all on board. Mm-hmm. So... the Rogue Ally X, excuse me, is getting, not, it's kind of getting a refresh. It's not the Rogue Ally X 2 or like the Steam Deck 2 or something like that. They're just adding a bigger battery, an updated design that'll have the same performance as the original Rogue Ally. It's called the Rogue Ally X. Bigger battery, updated design. I don't care about the design part of it. The bigger battery is a plus regardless of anything else. When you add a bigger battery on a handheld gaming device like that, that's always going to be a good thing. Although this thing, my Steam Deck doesn't really, of course, I'm not playing games that really drain the power on this thing. You know, Balatro does absolutely nothing. Marvel Snap does absolutely nothing. Yeah. The games that play great on a Steam Deck are usually ones that don't really hurt the battery too much.
Yeah, small resource
I mean, games, yeah. Listen, Cyberpunk 2077 is verified for Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
It is under the category of plays great on deck. It sure does for about an hour, maybe less.
Yeah.
Because it is draining that battery.
Mm-hmm.
So...
takes power to get them graphics up.
It does. So I don't really play. Talos Principle is approved for the Steam Deck, but I did not put it on there. There's no way I want to play that game on that deck.
Mm-hmm.
There is just, I can't, if you can look at, if you go to my Steam page or whatever, my activity type thing, first you'll see that I'm banned in Destiny 2 because I can't get over that. But what you'll also see are some of the screenshots that I've taken. There was an island, that I think I played last week that was... well, I think I talked about it. It was all giants.
Mm-hmm.
The stone was all giants, messing with my megalophobia. And then I got to this next island, and there's big giant heads that are sticking out of the ground and arms that are sticking out of the ground as well. And it's just really, really cool to see. But that's something I want to experience on my big TV. I say my big TV, but my big screen, not on this little tiny thing.
Yeah, full screen.
Yeah. A lot of this, that's another thing. You know, I was looking at Animal Well and the way that it looks, where it's very dark, it's very black screen, but it's got these kind of neon looks to it and things like that. I look at that and I'm like, man, that would look great on the OLED. OLED loves blacks because you get some of the most beautiful blacks on an OLED screen.
Mm-hmm.
It is just absolutely perfection on an OLED screen.
Looking at the screenshots, that's a lot.
So I think it would look amazing on an OLED screen. Now, my Switch is OLED. This is a game that's on Switch. It's on PlayStation. It's on Xbox, and it's on PC as well. But the absolute ability to not only play this on PC, but also play it on my Steam Deck kind of wins out. Although, playing it on Steam would get me best of both worlds. In portable, it would give me the OLED. In dock mode, it would still get me the OLED because it's connected to the TV. So, yeah, we'll see. Although, I can connect this to the TV as well and play through that. So, I don't know. There's options there. We'll see.
You got an AC adapter on that Steam Deck?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
I mean, it comes with one, so yes.
So in order to play anything like Cyberpunk or anything of that nature...
You
got to
be tethered a little bit. Yeah. There's that aspect to it. It's not too bad to be tethered. I mean, it requires a USB, USB-C. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to take the AC adapter thing with you. If you've got a USB-C cord and a USB-C slot, plug in, you're good to go.
Yeah, but if you have to be tethered, you may as well just play it on your PC or whatever.
Right, right. Although Animal Well doesn't look like a game that's going to drive the, you know, the system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
something that's going to drain that battery when it does it. So.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Oh, yeah, Hades 2 was... This is another kind of a shadow drop game. We knew we were getting a Hades 2. We just didn't realize that the early access was going to hit this week, and it absolutely did out of nowhere. It was like, hey, Hades 2 is on early access. Go for it. And people did. Hades 2 doubled the first game's record for concurrent players in one single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not played the first one.
Heard about it. Just hadn't.
Heard about it as well, but I haven't played it. Haven't touched it. So
ever plan to?
I don't even know if I own it. Again, why do I keep closing Steam? One of these days I will learn. Yeah. To not do that.
I was wondering if it was one of them titles that's really popular but just didn't pull you in. Because you and I both have titles like that.
It is not in my library. I think it's on Game Pass, which is why I think that I own it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it
got
is.
Got access to it at least.
Yeah. Because it's on Game Pass. What's the price of it right now? That's not bad. It's like, it's $8. It's $8.50 right now. That's not a bad price. But again, I should probably play it on Game Pass to see if it's worth whatever, although it's overwhelmingly positive with 234,000 reviews, so it's doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
I almost closed it out, but I'm not doing that. Because I realize we have 9 minutes left in the show, but I'm almost positive within those 9 minutes, I'm going to have to go back to Steam to look something up. Oh, we are getting a Switch 2, and we are getting the announcement of a Switch 2. Nintendo formally acknowledged its successor to the Nintendo Switch, stating that it will be announced within this fiscal year as part of an investor meeting that happened this week, meaning we'll hear about it before April of next year at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The Nintendo president took to the company's Twitter account to make the announcement himself, and his message all but confirms that the next generation console, which is reportedly slated for 2024, has been delayed into 2025. His message makes mention of Nintendo's next-gen console, saying how it will have been over 9 years since the Switch was announced, but also confirmed that there will be a customary Nintendo Direct in June. While this would typically be a part of E3, it is still slotted around the same time as many other companies' presentations and announcements. So we're thinking maybe it's then. Crucially, he stressed that folks shouldn't anticipate any mention of the Switch successor at this next Direct, which will instead focus on the remainder of the Switch's 2024 lineup. So don't get all too excited for news of this thing next month. But maybe early in the fall, we'll get a formal Switch 2 announcement, if that's what it's going to be called. We don't know what the name of the next Switch console or next Nintendo console will be. It seems to be everything that we know. It seems to be going in the direction of a Switch type of game, type of console.
Hardware, yeah.
You know, portable, dockable, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems they're going to keep the form factor, going to keep most of that, just, I guess, upgrade it maybe. I really don't know. Speculation about Nintendo's next-generation console has picked up considerably in the last year, especially with titles like Tears of the Kingdom, Mario Wonder released, and their lineup appeared to thin significantly. Yeah, we get some really big releases, and then it's like, all right, everything's kind of settled down. People are working on stuff for the next console. We're not getting a lot of first-party releases type things mm-hmm. coming our way. Even now, most of the big first-party titles arriving on the Switch for the remainder of the year are ports or remasters of existing games, like Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, that sort of thing. It has been reported that countless titles are being held for the Switch 2 lineup next year, and it is now entirely within the realm of possibility that games like Pokemon Legends Z through A, which was announced for the Nintendo Switch systems a few months ago, will be a part of that console's launch window, the 2. It's also reportedly been delayed in order to, among other things, be able to better meet the demand for a new system and combat resellers, which tracks given how difficult it was to get your hands on a Switch way back when it launched in 2017. Sounds like it'll be worth it, though, because according to some other rumors floating around, the Switch 2 seems likely to have magnetic Joy-Cons. So no more of this sliding thing. You just click, click. You know, they're going the Apple route of magnets.
Mm-hmm.
An 8-inch LCD screen. You just made an OLED version. Why not stick with that?
Is OLED bigger?
No, there is no difference in size. There wasn't. When they made the Switch OLED, there was no difference in the size.
Mm-hmm.
The bezel got smaller.
Okay.
You know, the little black around the screen? That got smaller. But I don't think it reduced the screen size, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it did get... The bezel got smaller around that. Let's see. What was I saying? Magnetic... An 8-inch LCD screen and will apparently be clocked crazy low when unlocked... when undocked... in order to significantly boost the battery life while playing on the go. Seems like we won't have to wait too much longer for information on the second Switch. So.
Some of those swap out that screen then.
Yeah, and I would say this, by the way, regardless of whenever the Switch 2 gets announced.
Mm-hmm.
If you have ever sold your Switch, bought a new Switch, upgraded to a different Switch, doesn't matter. If you've ever tried to move your account from one Switch to the other, it's a pain to begin with. It is worse of a pain if you're moving your Animal Crossing Island from one to another as well. And I don't know that that applies to any other game on the Switch library, but when I went from regular Switch to OLED Switch and I had to move my island over, it was a pain.
Yeah.
There are steps that you can do to make this better. And so whenever this does get announced, I imagine we'll be seeing articles about here's what you need to do to move your account over from one Switch to another Switch. And I would suggest you just go ahead and get started on that whenever that comes about, because you'll need to. You really don't want to do it when the Switch releases because then their servers get all weird and wonky and you just don't want to do that.
Backed up with requests, I was thinking.
That happened on a Christmas or something. I can't remember what it was. Something happened on like a holiday, Christmas holidays, where people got all these Switches and everybody was trying to do movement over and that sort of thing. Eventually Nintendo said, look, we're dropping because there was some sort of rule in place where it's like the only way we can migrate your account to another system is if you've done, there was a couple of different things, whatever it was. And the only way we'll do this for you is if blah, 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 blah. When Christmas rolled around and these things got backed up, they're just like, just do it. Stop grilling them on why they're doing it or anything. Just do it. Make it done. Because you're tying up the phone lines. There's a ton of people who want to do this. Just do it. We're not going to sit there and wait for all this.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and get it done. So that's what they did. Anyway, I guess that's gonna do it, man.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Still a shame about Tango, man. That.
I know.
You did everything right, but
you played The Evil Within in the sequel, didn't you?
Yeah. It was a throwback to.
Resident Evil, right?
Well, Resident Evil was going the more action route at the time. And,
right,
and
but it was a throwback
Within,
to...
Evil Within was a throwback to genuine survival horror because mm-hmm. resources were really limited in that game.
Yeah.
And you better hit your shots because if you put more than 3 bullets in an enemy, you've wasted mm-hmm. 2 rounds. You've wasted too many bullets already. So yeah, it was a real throwback to a genuine survival horror. You had to be very careful with your resources, and it took a while to get through that game because you had to be careful navigating every area with the limited resources that you did have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. We are done, and we will see you again next Saturday. Probably going to use this one for our replay on Memorial Day weekend because we'll take mm-hmm. that we'll take that weekend off, which is not next weekend, but the weekend after, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you guys have a fantastic weekend. Happy Mother's Day, every mother's out there, and make sure all of you guys call your moms. Tell them Happy Mother's Day. Here is music from Bulwark. This track is called Build Your Bulwark. We'll see you next Saturday.